So you are in for one amazing experience, because we launched something brand new today. Judging by looking around, something's going down today. Something's going down. It's going to be epic, I promise you. You stand on the verge of something incredible. An experience over the next 7 weeks plus one. Today's the plus one, where we have a look at the prologue to the last book of the Bible. We're going to be looking at seven letters that were written to seven different churches next Sunday morning. We're going to be having a look at seven seals that no one can open. They searched the world and there's no one found worthy to open the scroll until. Be here in 2 weeks' time to see what the until is all about. Seven trumpets that suddenly blast out ear-deafening sound as we realize that dramatic events are unfolding. Seven signs that appear as if out of nowhere, signaling we're moving of history forward. Seven giant bowls poured out upon the earth, emptied out by great angels upon the earth. Seven spectacles, no, not glasses, but seven dazzling sights, moments, experiences that leave us with no breath. We're just glaring at this incredible event that's taking place, and seven sights to wrap it up. Things that will just bring encouragement and hope to you. So put your hands together for the Revelation series. That's what I'm talking about. You need to face the fact that there could be an end. And I know some of you are thinking, please, 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 when the end happens, don't let me be in my school uniform, because then I have to live in those forever and ever and ever. Let me be on holiday, then I'm in my cool clothes. But it might happen on a weekend. Have you ever thought about the end? When the end's going to be? What it's like? How fun is it going to be, you know? I want you to turn to the person next to you and ask them a really tough question. What does the word apocalypse mean to you? So what are we hearing? Scream out a word. Aliens. Zombies. Explosions.
X-Men.
Scary. X-Men. Incredible, right? What's going to happen to cities near the end of time? There's a downtown street, maybe downtown in a town in a place like Johannesburg. Paris. This is a real image from the future. It was sent back from the future. I got it, but it's a bit grainy, okay? London. Man, do you want to be on Trafalgar Square or that bridge? You know, Waterloo Bridge. No, you want to run for cover. And the zombies. Oh, that's when I looked at teen literature this week. That's all teenagers seem to be interested in. It's all about the zombies. I took an online test, 10 questions that I had to answer this week, and it told me that I will last a few months in the zombie apocalypse. Ooh. I thought that was pretty cool, because I don't want to be going on the first day, but only a few months. Are you going to fight or are you going to flee in the zombie invasion? There's a movie, The Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse. Obviously, Alexia, you wrote this one. And basically, all zombies must die, right? Some of you play games about the end times, like Days or The Last of Us or Fallout Vegas. I can't even watch one episode of that. I saw a trailer. It scared the life out of me. I'm like, Some of you might remember this Will Smith movie. There's that dog thing that jumps out when you're just loving the movie with your popcorn. And it's like, scary, absolutely awful. And then there is, this is the end. I'm going to have to wear a mask. People are being hurt in that. I want a helmet for the end times, right? Mad Max, movies everywhere, just apocalypse. Oh. I'm absolutely petrified. Scary. I mean, you said it in one word. Scary, right? Do you know that the word apocalypse is that word revelation? Did you know that? It's the Greek word used to name the last book in the Bible, Apocalypse. And do you know what it means? It doesn't mean zombies walking the streets. It's reveal, disclose, uncover. It's to make plain so we know what's happening. God has come to us and he said, don't be troubled. Let not your hearts be afraid. I'm going to show you what is to come, and we'll unpack that this morning. We get this revelation of Jesus in the last book of the Bible that reveals where Jesus comes and says, guys, this is what is to come. Evil will be judged. Someone who stands on the number three prop's hand with his boot in a rugby match last night, I don't know if that was caught on television, but maybe in the end that evil will be unveiled and that person from Welsh will get a speaking to. Because there is a day of judgment. Some, don't you often think, evil needs to be punished? It's coming. There will be a day of reckoning. God is working out his cosmic plan. Some people like to think, well, God started all this and then he died or he went away. The reality is God is not dead and he is working out his plans for his purposes. God is the ultimate authority over all. And guess what? We've seen the end of the movie. We know who's victorious. We know who's victorious. And this series will spell that out in no uncertain terms. So you need to get the book. And I don't so much mean you need to run out and buy the Bible this afternoon, because hopefully you've already got one, or the book of Revelation. But you need to get it. You need to understand it. You need to not be afraid of it. It's given to encourage us, and we'll see what that means. Let me start with a few opening statements in a general form as we begin this seven-week series from today. Do you know Revelation is an answer to prayer? When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he taught them to pray, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Revelation is the fulfillment that one day this place will be like that place. That God will bring it all together. God will wrap it up. God will take away evil from everywhere. So it is an answer to prayer. Secondly, the book of Revelation, or Revelation, is an invitation to worship. It's like they can't not break out in song in the book of Revelation. Every chapter, just about, they start singing, "Worthy is the Lamb, he's awesome." It's kind of like downstairs, you know what I mean? You walk into church on a Sunday, and Belinda gets on stage, and there's the drummer and the guitarist, and suddenly all we're thinking about is God. Suddenly I even know that I can do this matric thing and get through it, because why? God is here, and I'm worshiping God. It's an invitation to worship. Revelation is about two spaces, down here and up there. God's not forgotten about us. This world is very much in God's heart, and we're on his mind all the time. He's intervening. He's here, and we're going to see what's happening here, what's happening there. It's about two times, now and then. We've seen the end. We're going to see the end. We're going to be encouraged. We're going to know that, you know what? We got this. Imagine if you could look ahead. Let's say you were a South African team, and you look ahead and you see the video of someone, number 9, Fourie Dupree, scoring a try in the corner. Imagine if you saw that going into the game. How confident would you be? Imagine how you would play. Not like, ooh, do you see that our boys come out second half? Like, oh, everyone's nervous. Even the Welsh were nervous coming out, fumbling the ball, both sides, backwards and forwards. You score, I score. No, you score. No, I score again. It's like no one knew what was going to take place. Imagine if you had seen the video. Man, the courage, the confidence. We've seen the video, because this book is a video. It's not just words. It's a graphic motion picture. It's about two people. We read at one point that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, Revelation chapter 11. It's like Father and Son are there, and it's all come together. It's a happening. It's wow. Well, why don't we start by reading the text? Let's read the whole book of Revelation quickly. We did advertise to your parents that we'll be here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Did you get the memo? Did they tell you that? Well, let's maybe just start with chapter 1. How about that? Listen to this. This will blow your socks off. Hold on to your socks. This is going to get windy. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. God's in heaven. He says, my people need to know what's going on. I'm sending my servant an angel to one of my followers who testified to everything he saw. He saw all this stuff, somehow transported to the future and saw it. Who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the word of this prophecy. Whoa, I'm in a good place today because I'm reading this prophecy today. I'm reading this book. I am so going to be blessed. Listen up. The one who reads the words of this prophecy is blessed. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it. You can be blessed today just by hearing and taking this into your hearts because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. Get the idea of seven? Completeness, perfection happening throughout this book. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. And what's developing over there is a very graphic image of Jesus in Revelation chapter 1. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Look, he is coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him, and so shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches. Send it off to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around. Oh, you see the footnote? And to his people, Rosebank. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. And he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now and what will take place. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. An epic drama is unfolding. And I want you to get up. You'll see there are eight stations around the room. You've got the first chapter represented in a graphic, a novel format. So there's probably going to be about four of you or so at a station. Start at the color picture on the left, unless you're Chinese. No, even if you are Chinese, start on the left and move your way through. Keep moving because others are going to be moving through you. Got about 5 or so minutes. I want you to capture something of who is Jesus in this, because we're going to graffiti that in our next movement. So there, go. As you begin ending, keep going. Some of you are ready to move on to our next movement, which is to describe the King, King Jesus. So there's a graffiti wall that's been brought to life as we heard that reading. We want you to add something you've heard this morning, something you've seen on the pictures. There's the scripture, the key passages of Jesus described there. Pick out something that you think needs to be inscribed on that, and you can do that in an image or a word or two. And you've got about 5 minutes in total. Try and get something up there, even if it's something small, each of you, to describe the king. So as the last guys are still drawing, you please carry on. Don't let me rush you. I want to unpack a little bit of that symbolism. I mean, you've already jumped up onto the wall and you've inscribed some stuff. But, you know, it can be a bit overwhelming. I mean, what? Are there swords in the mouth? I mean, is Jesus not going to cut his face, you know, when the sword is there and stuff? So what's kind of going on? We read that here is someone who appears, he's wearing a long robe, and he's got a sash around his waist. Here's a secret for the book of Revelation. If you want to know what it means, look back in the Old Testament. Half of what's there has already been seen to some way. Who in the Old Testament wears a long robe and has a sash around his waist? Priests, okay? And they are people that intervene between God and man. Who's the perfect one who came down as God to earth to come and to save us? Here is a priest who both will intercede. He's responsible for our salvation. He wasn't just the priest who slaughtered a lamb. He was the lamb himself. His head and his hair were white as snow. Let's face it, when you see someone whose head is white as snow, you kind of think, you should be in the old age home. There's not really space for you in society anymore. Have you ever thought that? Our society seems to boot the old gray heads out. Not in this day and age. Not in this day of the word. What happened? They were the most honored and revered. Let's face it. Mr. Mandela, when he was still alive, he wasn't a spring chicken, was he? How much did we respect and love and honor him? Desmond Tutu. Wow, even Thabo Mbeki's getting quite white, isn't he? Isn't there a wisdom linked with that? Isn't there a knowledge, an awareness? Isn't there a stateliness that goes with that? In the Old Testament, the same image is used to describe God, the Ancient of Days, with white flowing hair. This Jesus that some of these disciples knew as the carpenter's son is actually God. His eyes are like a fiery flame. I mean, my gosh, aren't your eyelids going to get burned? No, that's a symbolic description for penetration, for understanding, for seeing. Wherever he goes, he just knows stuff. He's all-knowing. His feet are like fine bronze, fired in a furnace. That just speaks about strength. I mean, imagine where you're standing. You talk about a rock-solid boxer, just firm foundation. You can knock him over. He's back up, firm and strong and stable. And his voice is like the sound of cascading waters. Just think of waves pounding into the beach, pounding, changing the shoreline. There's a power and authority in the words of Jesus. And in his right hand, as we see over there, he's holding the seven churches. I'm quite sure that seven stands for completion. I don't think it's just about, well, you seven are special. One, two, three, four, wow. No, seven of us are like going to be awesome. We represent the whole. Jesus holds the churches. He's a shepherd. He's the shepherd king that was prophesied in the Old Testament. He's kind and caring, and he goes out in the dark at night to look for the stray one. And from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. He's a judge using the word of God. Can you see how symbolic this is? So it's not like, I don't stop and say, that's just weird. I don't do knives out of someone's mouth. No, he's a judge. He's wise. Two-edged sword cutting through, revealing what's true and what's right. He knows all things. And his face shining like the sun at midday. Brilliance, holy, majesty, awesome. This is the brilliant, shining Son of God in all his glory. And he's before all things. He's after all things. He's Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. He is sovereign. He will outlast every baddie. There's no chance that it's going to go south in the last days. He is authoritative. And his right hand is protecting the seven churches, pastors. And, last one, he is the one holding the key, as you can see, of Hades and death. He controls death and life. Satan may think he's in control. The evil forces may think that they're doing pretty well, but guess what? Their days are numbered. We've seen the movie at the end. We know how it goes down. What a brilliant, brilliant future awaits us, because our God is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is in control. You need to live this. What we've experienced this morning, what we've learned about Jesus, you need to live that. You've seen the end. It's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it through our school. I don't know if our family's going to survive. I don't know if we're going to eat next month. My dad just lost his job. I don't know. My mom is trying her best to look after us, but like, it's impossible. You've seen the end. There's nothing impossible about Jesus. Let him appear to you in your bedroom one night. Stand there and say, listen, buddy, I got this. I got you in the palm of my hands. Do you not think I can protect you and get you through this? You might be writing a matric this year. Just look to this vision of Jesus and say, you know what? My God has got this. It's going to be okay. Nothing will hit you that Jesus can't handle. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I want you to spend a moment just thinking, wow, what do I take away? How am I encouraged by what I've heard this morning as we've looked at the prologue to the book of Revelation? Think about that for a moment. I'm going to give some of you a chance to share that in the 3 minutes or so that are remaining before we pray. So think about it. Jesus, what have you revealed to me this morning? What can I take away to encourage me? So Jesus, because you are King and Priest and Shepherd and Lord of all, and you were there in the beginning, you'll be there in the end, and you'll have all authority, and you have the sword, you hold the keys of death and life, Lord. What have you revealed to me this morning about how I can live and think and act in this coming week? So as the Lord has given you something to share, why don't you come up? Who's going to kick us off? Who's going to be really brave? I mean, you think the book of Revelation is scary. Coming up here, grabbing this mic, it's open mic time. Who wants to come and share something? What has God said? What are you going to drop in our midst this morning? Come. Who's ready? Yes, sir, thank you. Young at heart.
Because I feel like youth today, I thought, let me just participate. And I'm going to be young. I love the images that we've been looking at and what is on the wall. I just love the fact that we can engage with Jesus. And when I looked at that picture, and we took some time to listen now, what really stood out for me was the key. And I felt the Lord say, I've got this. What that means is, whatever I may be worried about, Mark, when he's speaking now, he was speaking about those writing matrix. Raise your hands. Let's pray for you right now. Those who are writing matrix, okay, you can put them down. Jesus says, I've got this. I've got this. Basically, I've taken care of it. So as I was listening, that he holds the keys to everything. He's got whatever you may be going through right now. And the baby, he's got this.
And the mom. Thank you, sir. Next. Who's going to be next?
It's going to be okay.
So awesome. Who else is going to share? Jess, were you flinching?
Yes,
what jumping you like? Do you want to share something?
With the whole imagery thing of him with the white hair and fiery eyes and whatnot, that shows, you know, you have coming from this creator who's way more powerful than anything else. So, you know, we've got this covering when you mess up, when you sin. It's not the end of everything until the end actually comes. Then But anyway, you know, that's why when you're going out and there is something you're trying to face, it's good to have that knowledge, you know. It's good to have the relationship, because now once you have the relationship, you know him, and you know he's going to take care of you. So, yeah.
Nice, Jess. Thanks. Who's that? Yeah, come forward. Got to have you on the mic.
Hi, guys. Well, I just want to add on to what's already been said. Just to emphasize, well, I know I've been stressed about varsity next year. I've been stressed about prelims, last term, finals coming up. So today I just actually genuinely feel like God actually has my back. Like he's going to take care of everything.
He is going to. Who's encouraged this morning? Hey? Who feels like, I got more hope because I've seen the one. I've seen the one. You know, Matrix, are you the one? I hope you are the one because, like, we need the one. We know the one. He is the one and only, the one and only Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you've got us in the palm of your hands. Thank you that you hold the key, that you can unlock anything for our future, for university, for a driver's license one day, for a passport to go on missions to the end of the earth, for whatever we need, for words for someone who's contemplating ending their life. You've got that for us when we need it. There's nothing that we don't have, because in you we have it all. And so, Lord, we bow before you today as we close our service. We honor you. Like John fell down, we just sit this morning in your presence and say, wow, God, you've got this. You are the Alpha and the Omega. There's nothing before. There's nothing after. You are. You are the first. You are the last. You were, you are, and you will be. Wow. You span the ages. You've got this, God. And we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Make sure you're here next Sunday. It is going to be amazing. You're going to be visiting. Bring a passport. You're going to visit 7 different places in Asia Minor. You might get to go to Ephesus. Some of you might get to go to Laodicea. Some of you will go to Philadelphia. How many of you have not wanted to go there? It's going to be epic. You're going to hear what God is saying to that church and to his youth. It is going to be a Sunday not to miss. In fact, this is a series. Set your alarm now for the rest, the next 7 weeks. You don't want to miss one. This is going to be unbelievable. It makes The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings pale into insignificance. God bless you. Have a fantastic week.
Now, the song is about heaven, all right? The song is about heaven, all right? Houston, I said the song is about heaven.